Welcome back. It's hour number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher. And glad you turned into that. I think you'll be very entertained and you'll learn a lot during this hour. And of course, we want you to participate if you have questions or comments on anything that you hear on Garden Talk. 636-1350 is the direct number to the KSRO greenhouse. You can also shoot us an email at any time, steve@ksro.com. And if you'd like a plant identified or a particular problem area in your yard or garden for us to discuss, just snap a photo and send it along with your email. We had the pleasure of meeting Veronica Bowers about 10, 11 years ago when she was in a different line of work, and that was chocolate. I'm sure she still loves chocolate. She owned one of the foremost chocolate shops on the West Coast, the best hot chocolate I've ever had in my life. And John Ash and I had the pleasure of having Veronica Bowers on the Good Food Hour. Little did I know that that was certainly an important passion of hers, but much more important than chocolate was her love affair with songbirds. And we got a PSA a couple of weeks ago. Oh, that's public service announcement for those of you not in the broadcast biz, from the Santa Rosa Garden Club. Saying, dear Stephen, Gwen, Veronica Bowers, the director of California Native Songbird Care and Conservation in Sebastopol, is going to be our special guest this Monday, September 25th, 2017, at Luther Burbank Art and Garden Center on Yalupa in Santa Rosa. It's free, and she's going to be doing a presentation, and we thought, gosh, wouldn't it be interesting to have Veronica on Garden Talk? And lo and behold, here's Veronica.
Hello. Good morning. I'm so excited to be here. I mean, what are the odds that I get to come on your show twice and talk about things that I am so passionate about?
So has this been something, part of your life for 20, 30 years?
Or? Well, songbirds have been part of my life for ever since I can remember. I mean, it was something that was fostered with my grandmother in her garden as young as probably 7 or 8 years old. So it's been a lifelong love affair, for sure. And the gardening thing, I'm an accidental gardener, really, because when I think back to my childhood, my mother used to use gardening tasks as punishment for my sister and I. So weeding and separating iris tubers and, you know, picking berries, I just really didn't think that I would grow up to be quite the mad, passionate gardener that I am.
Well, that's a way to foster a love of something, to punish the child. Get in there and roll pie dough.
Right. Yes, exactly. So, but, you know, it was through my love of songbirds that I discovered this love of gardening and a really strong passion, of course, for native plants, because there's such a vital and essential connection there between our native plants and our native songbirds and how they're interdependent on each other.
So when you first accessed your property in Sebastopol, was your vision right from the beginning to make it a songbird-friendly sanctuary environment?
It was. And when we had looked for 2 years for a place in Sebastopol, and we drove into the driveway not 20 feet, and there were large, beautiful, luscious live oaks arching over the driveway. And I said to my husband, I don't care if it's a dilapidated chicken coop in the middle of the property to live in. This is it. And then we drove further, and there were a lot of live oak and a beautiful garden. The woman who had the property before us was also an avid gardener, master gardener, and just, you know, gorgeous roses, gorgeous hydrangea, camellias, other lovely water-intensive ornamentals. And although it was very beautiful in what many people think of as a garden, mm-hmm. In my eye, I didn't see anything that really supported our native songbird. So I did, as soon as we settled in there, I had a vision. I didn't know exactly how it was going to play out. But my first step was to start removing those plants. And every time I removed a rose bush or a hydrangea, I replaced it with a native. And that just has progressed over the years. We still have a long way to go. There are still, you know, vestiges of ornamental happiness there. And it is very interesting because when you observe how the birds and other wildlife interact with the habitat that we've created, those are I won't call them dead zones where those ornamental plants occur, but there is an abundance of life and sustaining life that occur in those areas. But I'm the first to say when certain roses start blooming, like the Cecil Bruner, which is this huge climbing rose, I do just sit and revel in the aroma of it. It's beautiful. And I love to watch the blossoms, you know, explode and petals cascade down.
So do you keep a journal of all the different songbirds, migratory birds that come through your property?
I do. I keep pretty good notes about all of that. I know how they're using certain plants, who's started nesting in a certain part of the garden, who's showing up earlier or later each year, who's having brood success, who's not. We have even, so in addition to our garden supporting all of our migratory birds that are on the West Coast and our breeding birds on the West Coast and our resident species like the towhees and the mockingbirds, we've even had unusual species, vagrants, show up. We had a gray catbird, which is an East Coast species, show up in our garden and stay for 2 weeks a couple of falls ago. So we truly are a way station for these guys.
How many birds do you think you've identified approximately?
We've had well over 100 species of birds on the property. I've even counted a couple of flyovers like white pelicans. We've had California thrasher on our property, yellow-breasted chat. I mean, these are some of the species whose population are in serious decline in California. So to know that not only am I supporting our resident species and our common migratory species, but we're also providing something essential for populations of birds who are really struggling out there, it's a great honor. But it also compels me even more to further our work in the garden to, you know, truly make it a sanctuary for these guys.
Yeah, are there months where there are more or less? Is this a peak area with the migratory birds going?
So this is an interesting time of year because we have a lot of the migratory birds who have been in Sonoma County breeding, departing for their wintering grounds further south. And then we have our other migratory birds who have bred further north arriving to stay the winter, or perhaps even just passing through to continue further south. So I don't necessarily see this particular time of year as a source of great songbird abundance in the garden. There's this sort of constant flux that's going to be going on for the next couple of weeks, and then it'll settle in place. So our garden, although there are an abundance of individuals, there's not necessarily an abundance of species diversity during the winter. Really, the peak for that for us is about May through early August, when we've got a couple different warbler species, a couple different flycatcher species, the orioles, the grosbeaks, and then all of our resident species there nesting for the season. So during the winter, we have all of our hermit thrush and golden crown sparrow and white crown sparrow and juncos and fox sparrows there and the flickers. But I would say greater abundance and species diversity occurs during the breeding season.
That's great. And do you find lots of nests and baby birds on your property?
I don't go searching for them. I'm very careful about that. And through my experience of participating in our breeding bird atlas for Sonoma County, I do know how to survey for nests without going and pulling apart branches and things. So I'm very aware of their behavior. And when they're indicating that their nest is near, I do watch from afar and make note of it. And then in the hospital, we have a list that we keep in the hospital of active birds' nests, and I make a note for our volunteers to be aware and mindful when they're out in the garden or out tending aviaries that, hey, the mockingbird is nesting in the hedgerow, so, you know, be really careful when you walk through there, because if you disturb them and they jump from their nest and they start creating alarm calls, well, what that does is it lets everybody else in the neighborhood know, hey, they've got a nest of succulent little eggs or tender little babies there. And birds like scrub jays and crows predate those guys to feed their own babies. Okay. So we always, you know, observe from a respectful distance, but we're also mindful when we walk through the garden about who's doing what, because it's just as much their home as it is ours.
So you mentioned hospital. Is this urgent care? Is this convalescent? what are the steps and how do you determine when a bird is in distress and what type of remedial care do you provide?
Right. So Native Songbird Care and Conservation is a state and federally licensed wildlife rehabilitation facility. So what that means is any Good Samaritan who encounters an injured songbird, maybe it hit a window or their cat caught it, or they found it on the side of a road, or perhaps they found a baby bird out of the nest in their garden and they weren't sure if it was in distress and genuinely orphaned or the parents were nearby, they can call us. We will talk them through the situation and determine whether that animal actually needs rescuing or not. And if we decide yes, it's in grave danger or in, you know, serious health condition, bring it in and we will treat it for whatever the issues are. So mm-hmm. we do treat injuries, we treat illnesses, and we hand rear a lot of baby birds during the summer. In fact, this summer we released our 630th baby bird just last weekend. And overall, Native Songbird Care takes in about 1,000 songbirds each year. So we do a lot of good work out there, and we, you know, we are capable of treating a variety of issues, broken bones, lacerations, etc.
And do you do the work yourself?
I do most of the work myself. There are some procedures that we do require the expertise of our veterinarian. Mm-hmm. So we have a veterinarian locally, Dr. Dan Femini, who does wonderful work for us. So if we need radiographs or some kind of surgical procedure, he's our guy.
I'm just astounded by this. Well, we'll take a quick break and continue our conversation. If you'd like to join the conversation, 636-1350 for Veronica Bowers. She's our special guest this hour. But we're taking Garden Talk questions. If you have a question for Gwen Kilcher and anything to do in the world of gardening, as always, your calls come first. 636-1350. No one on hold at this point. Or Steve at ksro.com if you'd like to ask us. Or Veronica Bowers a question. She's the director of the California Native Songbird Care and Conservation organization located in Sebastopol. She's giving a presentation this Monday at Luther Burbank Art and Garden Center on Yalupa Avenue in Santa Rosa. And that is a free presentation, I understand.
Yes.
What time
isn't
is it?
Isn't that wonderful? 1:30 is the presentation time.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderfully fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. There's an abundance and wide variety of heirloom tomatoes, early girls, beefsteak, sun golds, and more. Don't miss this year's peaches, nectarines, pears, and apples. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, and tea blends to hummus and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Dear North Bay Nissan, I'd like to take a moment to tell you that you are a totally different kind of dealership. I was so happy to find your salespeople were so helpful. Not full of bull, Oni, like other places. Your selection of new and used vehicles is only outdone by your service department. When I brought my husband, he was so impressed we got it on paper. An incredible deal on a new Sentra S from North Bay Nissan. Thank you for your wonderful dealership.
North Bay Nissan. Remember, go anywhere else and you'll pay too much. Credit concerns? No worries. Everyone has a chance. Lease for only $179 per month plus tax and license with zero down. Or lease for only $99 per month plus tax and license with $28.50 down. Five or more at this lease. VIN number HY318151. 36-month lease? Zero due at signing with zero security deposit. $28.50 due at signing with zero security deposit. Excludes tax, license, and fees. 12K miles per year. 15 cents per mile over 36,000 miles. Subject to NMAC approval. Subject to prior sale. Offer expires 10-2-17. Call or visit NorthBayNissan.com. Se habla español.
Dear Petaluma Hyundai, I'd like to take a moment to tell you that you are a totally different kind of dealership. I was so happy to find your salespeople were so helpful. Not full of bull, Oni, like other places. Your selection of new and used vehicles was only outdone by your service department. When I brought my husband, he was so impressed we got it on. Paper. An incredible deal on a brand new Elantra Limited from Petaluma Hyundai. Thank you for your wonderful dealership.
Petaluma Hyundai. Remember, go anywhere else and you'll pay too much. Credit concerns? No worries. Everyone has a chance. Lease for only $249 per month with $99 down. Two at this lease, VIN number 354-566-365244. 36-month lease, $99 due at signing with zero security deposit, excludes tax, license, and fees. 10K miles per year, 20 cents per mile over 30,000 miles, includes all applicable rebates. Must finance through HMF on approved credit. Offer expires 10-2-17. Call or visit PetalumaHyundai.com. Se habla Español.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO with special guest Veronica Bowers. Hi.
Hi. So my question for Veronica is, I live in West County, in west of Sebastopol, and I'm trying to do the same thing that she's doing, but I'm just beginning, and I have about probably a half of an acre of just meadow kind of field that needs to get filled up, surrounded by like redwoods and firs and bays, and I've been filling it with I've been starting to plant a lot of sages, bee friendly and butterfly friendly things, but I hadn't really thought about planting bird friendly things. They has to be has to be relatively deer proof, and it has to be drought tolerant, because I can't do a lot of watering. So I'm just wondering what sort of things that you would recommend. I have a bunch of sages in there, and I got Fremantia, but what sort of recommendations does she have?
Well, first of all, since you have a lot of redwoods around, one thing that I would encourage you to do is go take a hike to one of our local, state, or regional parks where there are redwoods and look at what that native plant community is doing and who the members of that community are, and then do some research from there to find out which of those plants are really popular for our songbirds. How do they sustain them? So one thing that I can tell you that I've learned through my process of being an accidental gardener is when I set out, I didn't really have a lot of awareness about plant communities. So that's something I've been really learning the last few years and trying to focus on that. And then really dialing in on those communities about what plants actually serve our songbirds best. But I can tell you what works well in West County, that's totally drought tolerant, that is a popular favorite of songbirds, is coffeeberry. And it's beautiful. It's evergreen, so it provides cover year-round. And the berries are ripening now. So in our garden, we have western tanagers that are moving through in great abundance on their migration, and they're gorging on the coffeeberry. So I really love that plant. That's a great plant. And then, you know, since you have some open meadow, you might want to consider integrating some Baccharis, coyote bush, which is also a wonderful cover plant. It's also an insectary plant. So many, many different species of insect use that plant as a host for eggs, larvae, nectaring. And of course, when you have an insectary plant, you've essentially created a buffet for our native songbirds during the breeding season. Over 90% of our native songbirds raise their young on insects. So having plants that host healthy populations of insects in your garden is a really important element of habitat gardening.
And it's an evergreen plant too.
And it's evergreen, yeah, so it's awesome cover. And the birds will eat the seeds from it. They'll nectar on the blossoms of it if they're hummingbirds, for example, but they'll also use the spent flowers from the coyote bush for nesting material. So you'll often find in Anna's hummingbird's nest that they're lined with little bits of coyote blossoms.
And also, I believe you like buckwheat, too.
I love buckwheat. And there are so many different buckwheat species. And buckwheat is great for your butterflies and your bees, but it's wonderful for our songbirds, the hummingbird's nectar on it. But then when the blossoms dry up, it provides seeds. So all of our juncos and our winter sparrows can use that as a pantry during the winter season when there aren't other foods that are as abundant.
Is there a website, Veronica, that would list some of your favorite plants?
Well, we have a little resource list on our website. If you go to the resources page, there's just a little two-page thing about some of the plants that we love for songbirds. But, you know, also our local Calflora, they're incredibly knowledgeable there. They've got a wonderful selection of buckwheat. And there are a number of other websites. Calscape.org, which is by the California Native Plant Society, is an incredible resource.
Say again.
Calscape.
Okay.
Calscape.
Yep, calscape.org. It's a huge online resource by the California Native Plant Society. And you can go in, Bruce, and you can put your address in there, and it will come up with a list of plant material. And then you can just further explore their website and look at plants that are specific to habitat and creating habitat for the wildlife in your area.
What's your website?
Our website is nativesongbirdcare.org.
Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, it helps a lot. It's a good place to start.
Awesome.
I got a lot of planning to do. And I guess I could start doing that in the fall, right?
You should start now.
Start now.
Well, actually, I have actually thrown out a bunch of buckwheat already, seeds. Oh.
Good job.
So, I don't know if that's going to actually, if they're actually going to go off. So, but I can start doing it now, anytime.
Yeah, fall actually is the best time for two reasons. One, native plants like to be planted in the fall, but two, there are a lot of native plant sales that go on during the fall. So you can really stock up.
Okay. And then, so when I'm planting some of these plants, should I put them on a temporarily, at least when they're starting on a drip system, like coffeeberry, coyote bush, buckwheat, you know, well, not buckwheat, but some of the bushes, should I put them on a drip just to get them going, or do they need anything at all?
I think you know your local environment best. For me and our garden, I have not done that for any of my plants. Everything has gone into the ground late fall, and winter rains have sustained them, and they actually don't get any irrigation during the summer. So, but, you know, it's the way we have things planted, how we've implemented basins and swales in the garden and mulched, et cetera. But, you know, I would say just take note from what you've already planted and how it's responded to, whether you've done some initial irrigating or not, and go from there.
Thanks so much for your call, Bruce. Appreciate hearing from you. Gail from Santa Rosa has a question for us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Gail.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm very thrilled about your guest that is the songbird expert, and what fabulous work that is. How great that you found someone like that.
Great. What can we do for you?
Well, speaking of songbirds, I recently had a 2.5 foot by 4 foot pokeweed come up in my driveway.
Pokeweed.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, of course.
And I'm wondering, it has lots of berries that are green right now, and I know they turn purple and then the birds love them, but it's such a beautiful plant. I'm wondering, how do I germinate them, and any other advice you have about it? Particularly, is it really edible?
Do you want to comment, Gwen? Because I know a little bit about this plant.
Go right ahead.
So 3 years ago, we had one come up in our garden next to this beautiful native willow that we have. And I I didn't know what it was. I got a little packet of seeds from another fellow gardener with milkweed, and I'd thrown the milkweed seeds there. And I kept looking at this plant going, well, this is not a milkweed. It's not a milkweed I've ever seen. And so I let it do its thing, and I saw that it produced berries. The birds ate it, and then it went away, and it came back the next year. And I, for whatever reason, really hadn't taken any initiative to find out exactly what this plant was. And then this year, I had a volunteer who was equally fascinated with this plant. She did some research and she found out, okay, this is pokeweed. It's a non-native. Yes, you can eat parts of it. You have to be incredibly careful because it's essentially poisonous. So there are only certain times you can harvest certain parts of the plant. It is listed as a California invasive. So you would serve our native plant community well, particularly riparian areas, which are impoverished habitats in California, by pulling that plant up. There really isn't anything you need to do to cultivate it. The birds do a fine job of that on their own because they eat the berries and disperse the seeds. But there are other native plants that are equally as beautiful that aren't considered invasive. Does that help?
Interesting. Yeah, it can see where it could be invasive. But it looks like, so I should cut the berries off. I could have the plant and cut the berries off, and then the birds wouldn't eat it, and then it wouldn't go anywhere. Is that kind of what you're telling me?
Well, that's certainly one approach. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would minimize the spread of it. Dug ours up.
Yeah, they dug ours up. And Gwen, you agree that it's a fairly invasive plant.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, there's no sense really keeping the, unless it, the, if you like the look of the plant and it's serving some purpose of some sort in your garden, you do need to keep on top of the berries because it just takes one berry to be dispersed someplace that then makes 200 plants someplace else. So if you're going to be really on top of cutting off all those berries before they mature and you like the plant, you want to keep it, okay, fine. But if there's going to be some doubt in your mind that you're not going to keep up with the berry picking, then you might as well, you know, do as Veronica says and just take the plant out.
And we have to take a break. Thanks so much, Gail. If you read Southern cookbooks, you will see many recipes for poke salad. I grew up in the South, and it was very much loved during a particular part of the season. But you have to be very careful about when to harvest it. It can cause some real digestive upsets. I speak from personal experience. Not a plant that I really would want in my yard or garden, but that's up to you to decide. So I think both Veronica and Gwen have made their opinions perfectly clear. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And don't go away, Helen. We want to talk to you up in Windsor on Garden Talk this morning. 636-1350. If you want to reach us, Veronica Bowers, our special guest on today's Garden Talk, you can attend her free lecture this Monday at the Luther Burbank Art and Garden Center on Yalupa Avenue in Santa Rosa. Starts at 1 o'clock. You're going to be doing a slideshow, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes.
And talking about your work with the native songbirds.
And it's hosted by the Santa Rosa Garden Club.
Yes.
So become a member if you go there.
We'll be back. It's KSRO Santa Rosa.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Hey, Sonoma County, this is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans and host of On Air with George Adair on KSRO. Over the last few years, did you purchase a home with FHA financing or some other mortgage insurance financing? If so, I've got an idea for you that may help you save hundreds every month. Over the past couple of years, average home values have increased dramatically. So call Bay Equity Home Loans at 583-8100 and see if you qualify for a new loan to get rid of your mortgage insurance. Call 583-8100 and we'll complete a free and no obligation home valuation. If you have the right equity and you can qualify, we'll show you how to get rid of your mortgage insurance forever. So call Bay Equity at 583-8100 or online at bayequityloans.com. And remember to tune in to On Air with George Adair every Wednesday at 12 o'clock.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
Splash, splash, when your car needs a bath. Bath, safe, shiny car, splash, splash.
Most folks treat themselves to a car wash only after a rainy day. But Splash Express will soon have you say, no way, because Splash Express gives you two car washes for the price of one. It's true, only Splash Express has the ultimate rainy day giveaway. You heard right. If it rains in Santa Rosa within 72 hours of your Ultimate Express wash at Splash Express, we'll offer you another Ultimate wash absolutely free. It's our Ultimate Rainy Day giveaway that will brighten your day, and we're right on your way. So what are you waiting for? Splash Express is on Santa Rosa Avenue, just north of Costco, next to Kia of Santa Rosa.
Splash, splash, when your car needs a bath. Bath, safe, shiny, dry, splash.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderfully fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. There's an abundance and wide variety of heirloom tomatoes, early girls, beefsteak, sun golds, and more. Don't miss this year's peaches, nectarines, pears, and apples. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, and tea blends to hummus and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
The U.S. Geological Survey is confirming that there was some kind of seismic activity early today in North Korea. ABC's Jennifer Eccleston's at the Foreign Desk.
About 25 miles northeast of the Hamgyong Mountains.
And that is a representative of the U.S. Geological Survey who says it occurred in an area where Pyongyang had conducted nuclear tests in the past. Another quake in Mexico, magnitude 6.1, just days after 7.1 tremor struck south of Mexico City that killed more than 300 people. The Senate expected to vote next week on the latest Republican plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Several GOP senators say they're undecided about the Graham-Cassidy bill. Now, if the NBA champion Golden State Warriors decide to visit the White House, as tradition usually has it, one player won't be going. President Trump's disinvited Steph Curry after the point guard said he wasn't interested in going at all. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Temperatures getting warmer the next few days. Today, sunny at 82, 70 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 52, 54 on the shores. Blue skies for Sunday at 86, 72 in Bodega Bay. Monday, topping out at 88 degrees, 75 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It is Garden Talk live at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher celebrating 30 years of Garden Talk right here on the air. You can reach us at 636-1350 for any general gardening questions, or if you have a specific native songbird question, how to attract songbirds to your property, we have Veronica Bowers, the Director of California Native Songbird Care and Conservation in Sebastopol, in our KSRO greenhouse this morning to talk about not only what friendly plants you can plant, but also she's going to reveal live on the air now a fundraiser that you're having.
Yes.
Be the first to know about this. When is it?
All right. So Saturday, November 11th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the Native Songbird Care and Conservation grounds, we are having our annual Holiday Birdie Bazaar. So in true fashion of any, you know, self-respecting bazaar, we have a wonderful assortments of arts and crafts, delicious home-baked goods, gift baskets, native plants, and we also do an open house. So we give tours of the hospital so people can learn a little bit more about the work that we do at Native Songbird Care, and tours of the garden so they can see live examples of how to create habitat of their own in their own backyard. start.
Will there be anything to eat, Veronica?
Let me see, Steve. I think there's going to be some delicious chocolatey items. Mm. A tried and true favorite called hummingbird cake, which is kind of a Southern specialty. You might be familiar with the hummingbird cake.
I sure do.
So, yes, lots of wonderful savories and sweets.
Wonderful. And there's a chance to purchase maybe some native plants, too?
Yes, absolutely. We'll have an assortment of native plants for purchase.
Okay, great. And we can become a... Is there a membership? Can you become a member?
No, we're not a membership. We're a nonprofit organization, but we're not a membership organization. And the Birdie Bazaar is free, so people can just come on in.
And would that information be on your website?
It will be up there very soon, yes.
And the website is?
NativeSongbirdCare.org.
So right now, go to your calendar and write down November 11th, Saturday, 9 to 4. You're going to go over to Sebastopol and support this wonderful organization. Want to thank Helen for holding. Helen, welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning. I have a question about planting sod.
Sure.
I live in a manufactured home park, and I'm removing a ton of gravel, and of course there will be a weed guard, and I'm just kind of concerned about the condition of the soil that's been covered up forever. And I know I would put a turf builder, but I'm wondering if it's even worth trying.
Well, how about, since Veronica's here, and we are, you know, trying to remove lawn and replace it with more drought-tolerant perennials and shrubs and things. How about going in that direction instead of having a lawn where you have to mow it and you have to fertilize it and you have to, you know, keep it, you know, it's a high maintenance thing. So
I know, but it's an area that's probably, Gwen, it's probably maybe 15 by 15. I just want a little patch.
Okay.
Right. Well, if your soil is damp enough at this point, if you can dig into it easily enough, you know, 3 to 4 inches, then, you know, the soil's pretty workable, and maybe just add some organic compost, you know, maybe spread an inch or 2 inches thick on top of the ground. Okay. And if you could work it into the soil as best you can, and you'll have to get a roller and compact it a little bit and then get your sod out there. But all these turf products, stay away from anything that has an herbicide in it, because that's what's contributing to killing our bees.
Absolutely.
And everything. Yeah, so there are many organic lawn fertilizers out there that you can use. And so go with the more drought-tolerant fescue grasses.
Okay, thank you for that too,
instead of a bluegrass ryegrass mix. There are some dwarf varieties out there, so you won't have to get out there so often and mow, and they're a little bit more drought tolerant.
I was even thinking of like a ground cover, you know, instead, but it does get quite a bit of heat in the summer, so like baby tears or something like that definitely wouldn't work, but just something, a patch of green.
Well, you know what would be really good would be myoporum.
Okay, let me write
Myoporum. There's a white flowering variety, there's a pink variety, flowering variety, and that spreads and it roots where it grows. And, you know, one plant could grow like 8 or 9 feet in each direction. So,
is that the blue star creeper?
No. Nope, it's Myoporum. M-Y-O-P-O-R-U-M.
Okay, cool. I'll check into that. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. You're such a good teacher, Veronica. You've done a show and tell. What have you brought in for us today?
So I took a little walk through the garden this morning, and I just picked a little bit of everything that the songbirds are utilizing right now. So we have some beautiful fruiting native grapes. So this is actually a cultivar. This is Rogers Red, but it's easy to grow, vigorous, and a favorite by all songbirds who consume fruit during late summer and fall. Then we have our beloved coffeeberry. This is one of my favorite plants.
Yes. It's a beautiful
plant. You can see gorgeous, dark, almost purple berries on them. And this is ripe now. And it'll actually, different plants in our garden will be fruiting from late August all the way through October. So it's a reliable food source, again, for a lot of the species that eat fruit. And then we have a gorgeous plant. This is called Catalina cherry. Beautiful, again, also evergreen, so it provides great cover for the birds. Also beautiful for a hedgerow or anybody who wants to maybe screen out an area of their yard. But look at that beautiful fruit, just big, giant, glossy, pruny. It has kind of a large pit, but all wildlife loves it. In fact, somebody, I saw a photo on Facebook the other day of a hummingbird nectaring on one of the berries that probably a bird had pecked open. So it serves nectivores as well. And then we've got California fuchsia, epilobium. There are so many different species of this plant. You can have low growing, high growing, spreading. But this important source of nectar for our insects, butterflies, but also for our hummingbirds. And then, of course, these wonderful little spent seeds are great for our little seed eaters like goldfinches. Then yarrow, another common native, easy to grow, wonderful for seeds and nectar. Same with our beautiful California buckwheat here. I love this plant.
That is beautiful.
It's a gorgeous plant and beautiful, adds color and interest to the garden this time of year. But all of these little flowers are going to go to seed and they're going to be a vital source of food for our seed-eating birds this winter. So we never deadhead anything in the sanctuary gardens because we don't see it as ugly. We see it as, food for the birds. So this is sticky monkey flower. This is our native monkey flower. So everything that you see here that I brought you guys, they don't get any water during the summer. None of these plants do. They're all drought hardy. And this monkey flower, again, very important source of nectar. But also for people who maybe have this perception that native plant gardens lack color and beauty as we get into the doldrums of summer and early fall, that's false. All of these beautiful plants, orange and yellow and purple and white, they're all blooming right now. So coyote bush, one of my habitat heroes in the garden. This beautiful lush green foliage is year round. And again, the flowers are great for nectaring. This is an essential plant for insects. It's an insectary plant. So again, thinking about birds who require insects as part of their normal diet or all of the 90-something% of songbirds who raise their young on insects, this is a little pantry, if you will, a bug pantry. And then aster. Okay, so there are a few different native species our aster, but look at that. It's light and open and airy. It adds an interesting element to the garden. And again, an important nectar source, but also important seeds.
Good morning, Randy. Thanks for holding. You'd like a word with Veronica. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi.
Hi. We have the hermit thrush down in the canyon to the east of us. They're just beautiful. We love the song. And I'm just wondering if there's any plants that we could put down there to make them happy. It's kind of a shady area, but we do have a little pond down there.
And Randy's calling from Casadero.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool, Randy. So, Randy, is it a large property, and do you back up to wild spaces?
Yes, on both those. There's wild spaces all around us, and we have some acreage. But like I say, back where we hear the hermit thrush, and they're down in the shady area, down on the east slope. I'm just wondering if there's anything we could put down there.
Well, it's very possible that everything he needs is already down there since it's a wild space and there are probably a lot of robust natives growing. So hermit thrush they're mostly understory and ground-dwelling birds. They eat a lot of insects, but they also eat berries. And so I wonder if maybe you've got some native currant and some native gooseberry and things like that already growing down there that he's enjoying. And maybe you could just get down there in the canyon and take a closer look and see. And, even our native poison oak, which is a pest to us humans, produces a berry that's really important for our wildlife. So he may even already be feeding on that. But So you actually bring an opportunity to talk about an important topic, and that is when we do, you know, we're very lucky in Sonoma County. Many of us live in more of the rural parts where we do open up onto larger wild spaces. We have to be careful about some of the plant materials that we include in our gardens because we want to make sure that if there is native habitat that's already intact, that we help sustain that. Mm-hmm. And there may be some plant species, although native, that might not be appropriate for the contiguous plant habitat that you already have established on the other side of your fence line. So I would, and I applaud you for wanting to support your hermit thrushes because they're one of my favorite songbirds, and I agree with you about the song. It's just otherworldly. But also, your interest to want to foster more habitat for that little guy, you might want to just explore what's already there and see how you can build upon that.
Thank you so much for your call, Randy. We need to take a break. We'll be right back following this and take a couple more calls before the hour's up.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5 94.5 KSRO.
At last, my love has come along.
That's the great Sonoma County vocalist Vernell Anders, the featured performer at the next free Sunday concert at the Terrace. Yes, Montgomery Village's free concerts from 1 to 4 at Village Terrace continue this Sunday. Enjoy an afternoon of jazz, blues, and Latin magic when the Michael Brandenburg Jazz Trio welcomes very special guest, Vernell Anders.
Say it's me that you adore for now and evermore.
Sip on a glass of exceptional Robbie Strong wine or an ice-cold Nikasi IPA, Bud Light, Kona Longboard, Shock Top Belgian White, or Alhambra Water. All proceeds from beverage sales benefit the Piner Olivet Education Foundation. Go to mvshops.com for details. Live jazz this Sunday at the Terrace next to Cattleman's with Vernell Anders. Plus premier shopping throughout the village, Montgomery Village.
Need some ideas for your next travel bucket list? Then listen to Travel Tuesdays with Elise Corey, noon to 12:30 each week. This week, she welcomes celebrity cruises.
Experience four distinctly unforgettable island settings with Four Seasons Resorts Hawaii. From the volcanic beauty of the Big Island to the iconic majesty of Oahu and the beautiful spectrum of scenery on the private island of Lanai, find the Hawaii you've been dreaming of. Get inspired by the exciting adventures ahead and create a Four Seasons Hawaiian vacation that's truly personal and memorable. The Four Seasons Resorts are more than just hotels. Each hotel is very different and representative of the island it's on. Explore the possibilities at the Four Seasons with TravelWise. Being the only Virtuoso travel agency in Sonoma County, you'll get extra amenities at no extra charge at each of their Hawaiian properties and all 62 Virtuoso Four Seasons properties around the world.
Go to KSRO.com and click on Travel Tuesdays with travel expert Elise Corey, owner of TravelWise.
This month at Graton Resort and Casino, we're giving away cars, cash, and more. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, turn points into slot play and win up to $30,000 in prizes. And hit the road to riches on September 29th. You could win a Nissan 370Z Roadster. Plus, sign up for Graton Rewards and you could get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
There's no place I'd rather be.
It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Christine, you have a question about a sago palm for Gwen. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Good.
So I have a sago palm that was here when I moved in, and it's in a wooded flower planter in front of the house. And now it's having, it's about 4 feet tall. It's having some nice, I guess, babies or bulbs that grow out, and they're also have foliage on them now that are probably maybe three inches, you know, in diameter 2 to 3 to 4 inches, about 6 of them growing out of the side. How do I separate them safely, and then how do I put them into another ground, you know, just right into the ground, or do I have to do anything first when in water, or how does that work?
Wow, that's pretty good that you have that plant that big. They're really difficult to grow. And
I've never touched it.
Wow, that's probably what it likes, is neglect. You know, like no tender, loving care kind of stuff. I would wait until springtime, though, before you dig up those little babies and transplant them. If you could mimic that soil that it's in now, then the babies will have their best chance of surviving the transplanting.
Okay, these babies are attached to...
Yeah. Okay, so you'll have to just make a nice clean cut, but you have to, I would make sure, dig around the base of the little babies and make sure that they have a lot of roots to them.
Okay.
Okay, and it might be that by springtime, late spring, the roots are still few and far between, because you don't want to cut them off too prematurely, because they are so difficult to grow and they want everything perfect. Too much water, they die. Too little water, they die, especially with these babies. So I would wait until late spring. Dig around the base of the babies and see how much of a root system you have. If it's as much as what's on top, growing on top, okay, great. If it's a little bit less than that, okay, well, you're still okay to remove that plant from the mother. And so then you'll dig further and see where it's attached. And you can get good sharp pruners and just cut that plant from the mother plant. Dig up the whole baby with as much soil as you possibly can to not disturb it too much. And then transplant it in a small container so you can watch the watering. You can make sure it's not getting too much sun where they could burn. And, you know, so it's kind of tricky. But if you can get a good draining soil and transplant them where they get a little afternoon shade, like I said, in pots, that way you can move them around where they'll do their best.
Thanks so much for your call, Christine. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station. FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderfully fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. There's an abundance and wide variety of heirloom tomatoes, early girls, beefsteak, sun golds, and more. Don't miss this year's peaches, nectarines, pears, and apples. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, and tea blends to hummus and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
The best defense against ticks and tick-borne diseases is you. Showering after being in a tick habitat can help you detect ticks. Learn more at msmosquito.com/ticks.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So I'm sorry we just can't get to all the additional questions we have for you, Veronica, because you're just super popular today, you and your songbirds. So to recap, you can meet Veronica and hear more about wildscaping for songbirds, and that's a wonderful term, wildscaping, on Monday at 1 o'clock at the Luther Burbank Art and Garden Center on Yalupa here in Santa Rosa, the annual meeting of the Santa Rosa Garden Club. Veronica will be presenting for that. So that's put that on your date. Then October 17th at 7:30, you'll be speaking to the Native Plant Society, which is also being held, their meeting at the Luther Burbank Art and Garden Center, correct?
Correct.
And then November 11th, we want to put that on our calendar because that's the big bird open house. What do you call it? Bird Bazaar? Or what
the Holiday Birdie Bazaar.
The Birdie Bazaar, November 11th from 9 to 4. That's at Veronica's home and functions as the headquarters for the Native Songbird Care and Conservation. Mm-hmm. And there'll be native plants for sale and goodies. And, well, it'll be a celebration of all things good in our community.
Yes, birds, plants, and chocolate. What more can we ask for?
Wonderful seeing you again. It's been 10 or 11 years, but we will have you back soon again as you progress during the fall and winter.
Thank you, Steve and Gwen. It was really fun being here.
Okay, Gwen, see you next week.
Yes, you will.
Chef John Ash coming in next on the KSRO Kitchen. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
This is FM News Talk Radio at 103.5.